We here at the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church would like to thank you for your faithful prayers and financial contributions. It's because of you, through media, Expressions from St. Paul is viewed and heard all over the world.
I'm so grateful for this man. And on this day, as we celebrate him, that's what I want to share with you about the impact not only that this man has had on this church or this city, but there's a reason why he's had such an impact. The reason why this man has done so much for 48 years.
Welcome to Expressions from the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. We are blessed to have serving as our pastor, serving us faithfully for the past 48 years, Dr. Ephraim Williams. Our edifice is located at 3996 14th Avenue in Sacramento. We'd like to take this opportunity to invite you out to worship with us in person on Sunday morning. New membership orientation begins at 8:45 a.m. Sunday school classes for all ages are offered at 9 a.m. and at 10 a.m. our morning worship service begins. It would truly be a blessing to look around and to see your face in the place. On this past Sunday, we celebrated our pastor's 48th anniversary, and our special guest keynote speaker was Reverend Daryl Heath, pastor of the St. John Missionary Baptist Church here in Sacramento, and he titled his message, This Man. If you have your Bible or your mobile device, let's go to the book of John, chapter 7, verse 46. We'd like to thank you for joining us today. We are now going to transition into the auditorium, and let's join the celebration already in progress.
It is preaching time. It's preaching time. And our speaker for this hour, just wanted to say a few words about him. He's the visionary of Repairing the Breach Ministry, which is a nonprofit that helps broken lives. He also served in various capacities for the California State Baptist Convention in different officer positions. So he has a heart for service. And then thirdly, he's the founder of Pastors Helping the Next Generation. I told you, he has a heart for helping others. He's also been married to one wife for over 33 years. Amen. Amen. He's currently the pastor of St. John Missionary Baptist Church. He worked diligently under Pastor Heights when Pastor Heights was pastor, and then he was called to the same church. So let us receive Pastor Daryl Heath by the response of amen. Amen. Next voice you hear be that of Pastor Daryl Heath.
Let's say amen. Amen. Again, we thank God for this day, and I greet you in the wonderful name of our Christ. I bless the Lord for being here today. Yes, sir. I'm excited about this day because I am glad that I'm here to be to celebrate the legacy of this great man. Amen. And on behalf of myself and my darling wife, Sister Arnett Renee Heath, who often tells me she's from DPH, I want to say we're glad to be here. I was just a little bit, I listened to so many things that were said about Pastor that has just been astounding and uplifting and encouraging as a pastor. You know, and so much was just shared with you now. 48 years in 1 month. I was just thinking on the way over here, I was 11 years old when he started here. 11 years old, and God allowed our paths to cross. We know he served in so many positions, national leaders, council to presidents, council to leaders, city council. He's been Paul to many Timothys, which I'm one, a builder of many things. But there's one thing that I really want to share with you that really blesses my heart every time I think about it. I came to Sacramento to Davis, California, in 1981. with the idea of being a veterinarian because I gave one of my dogs some pills one time. He got well, so I figured I was called to be a veterinarian. And so I went to vet school and went to one particular class where they gutted a hog, and I said, no, that's not what I want to do. And so I thought I'd go into art, and I love art. So I didn't want to do art too much. I was going to work at Disney. And then I thought maybe I'd be a professional ball player and play for the Los Angeles Dodgers. And by now, we'd have won about 13 World Series, but that didn't work out. So then God called me to preach. He put me in a corner and made me say yes. And I joined the St. John family. And when I joined St. John, about a year later, Pastor Heights called me to be his assistant. And it was there and then that I was introduced to that man. It was introduced to him and the ministry that he works. He was one of Pastor's good friends. And whenever they would go out or whenever they do something, I would tag along. And I got to learn who he was or who he is. And over the years of working with the late Dr. Heights for 13 years as his assistant, when God called him home, I felt to some degree alone. You know, it was almost like I lost a big part of me. You know, but I'm so grateful that God didn't leave me alone.
Amen, amen, amen.
He put another man in my life that filled a big hole.
Amen.
We went through that year as we got ready to do the call of the pastor for St. John. It was rough because there was a faction within the church that did not like me. So they had been planning to undermine me. I never really chose to go to be the pastor of the church. But sooner or later, some people said, you need to run. You need to put your name in. I talked to Pastor Williams. I talked to other pastors who were my mentors. So finally, I put it in at the last minute. But this group had decided they were going to cut me down. Now, many of you might know me. My fuse was kind of short then. So say the wrong thing, you're going to meet Daryl from East L.A. So anyway, I put my name in and pass it with Carrie now and then. I also want to thank the St. Paul family. You were encouraging me and, you know, praying for me and our church. And then the night of the election came. Now, this man, all that's been said about him is so true. The night of the election came, and this group had decided, tonight we're going to get him. Tonight we're going to bust it open. We're going to really do him in. And they sat in a section of the church. And I decided in my heart, God, whatever happens, happens.
Right.
This is in your hand.
Right.
Now, anybody that's been to St. John, we have three sets of pews.
Right.
I sat on facing the pulpit, I sat on the left side, which I rather do near the front. And if you look down the hall, there's a door that shows those pews. You look down the hall, is the pastor's office. And so we're sitting there getting ready to cast votes and do the things we need to do. And I'm a little nervous because you can hear the murmuring. You can hear the grumbling. You can feel the tension in the room. And as they get ready, as the deacon chair got ready to give us direction, I looked up and I saw coming down the hall this tall figure just kind of gliding down the hall, long steps. He made a left turn and went up into the pulpit area, then sat to the left side of the full pulpit in one of those end chairs. Never said a word, just sat out. I tell you, a hush came over that room. It was as if Michael the Archangel, somebody just walked in, but the room just went quiet. Then the deacon called everybody's attention. We did the vote, took about 10, 15 minutes, music playing. When it was all said and done, one person got 20 votes, one got 21, and I got 220-something. And that faction just shut down.
Amen.
And then he still never said anything. This man never said a thing. He just sat there. Now, the moderator was Rogers at the time. Rogers was sitting on this side. He looked at me and cheered, waved. And I got up. I walked to the pulpit. And all he did was stand up, open his arms. And embraced me. Like a father would do a son. And from that day forward, he has been a big impact on my ministry, our family, And I know I am partially where I am because of this man.
Amen.
Still today, he will call every now and then, just say, I'm checking on you. How are you doing? And I always joke and say that I know when he don't necessarily tell you what to do, but he knows how to word it, so he's telling you what to do. It's usually if he starts, brother, or I would do it this way. But I'm so grateful because of those statements, I've been out of a lot of trouble because I did what he said, the way he said do it. He knows he's always been to protect me, keep me from getting in trouble. I went to one council meeting, that hot council meeting, when they was trying to destroy Oak Park, and I was leading the charge, trying to help lead the charge against that. He was sitting next to me, and someone in the council meeting said something. He just tapped me, and I was getting hot. Let me say something. And somebody else got something, he just tapped me again. So he taught me that I don't have to always say something.
Right.
Sometimes it's just good to listen and let God work. So I'm so grateful for this man.
Amen.
And on this day, as we celebrate him, that's what I want to share with you about the impact not only that this man has had on this church or this city, but there's a reason why he's had such an impact. The reason why this man has done so much for 48 years and 1 month. There's a reason why. And I think it's found in John chapter 7 and in verse 46. The Gospel of John chapter 7, verse 46. We do give God glory and honor. I mean, let me just say this. I want to commend those young men with the trumpets.
Amen.
I mean, you blessed my heart this morning. Everything has been well. Now, I've started learning how to play the violin. I've had a violin for 30 years. And every year, I would just get it tuned up and put it back in its case and put the case back in the closet. But 2 years ago, I started taking lessons, and I am now an up-and-coming violinist.
There you go.
So, brothers, where y'all at? Next year, we'll all play for Dr. Williams.
There you go.
John chapter 7, verse 46. Simply states, the officers answered, no man ever spoke like this man.
That's right.
For a few moments, I just want to talk about this man. This man. It is without a doubt, I am this morning more than elated to be in your presence, to celebrate the life, ministry, and the legacy of this man, Dr. Ephraim Williams. I'm humbled and grateful that God has allowed me this opportunity to be with you, St. Paul, and to thank you for tolerating me this morning. I've already shared with you the impact that this man has had on my life, and I dare say the city, state, and nation. It goes without saying that he has and does serve his Lord with dignity, honor, and distinction. Yet it's important that I also share with you, in my humble opinion, the why this man, Dr. Ephraim Williams, is able to do what he does with such efficiency and humility, to serve a fellowship of believers, a family of faith, a community of Christians for 48 years and 1 month is not an easy task. It is not done by ordinary strength, by wily wisdom, uncanny know-how, or blind luck. No, there's more to it, and it is found here in the text. As I stand here this morning, having witnessed and continue to watch the commitment and work of Dr. Ephraim Williams, I say with complete assurance it is because that man is wholly dependent upon and trusting in this man we are about to talk about today. It is a life given to the man of Jesus that makes for a legacy that spans half a century and a ministry that has and continues to shower people with love and show the power of the love of Christ in everyone's life, a power that has been arrested by Jesus Christ. Each time I read this text, I'm so intrigued by the statement made by the officers sent to arrest Christ. In fact,
Each time I read about the effect that Jesus has on those who meet him, it causes me to want to know him more.
Right.
I firmly believe that it is impossible to meet Christ and stay the same.
That's right.
It's just not possible to come in contact with Jesus Christ and remain the same.
That's right.
Each person within Scripture and in all humanity who have ever met Christ, something changed them, their personal life and their eternal destiny. The shepherds at his birth, John the Baptist in his mother's womb and at the River Jordan, the teachers of the law at age 12, the 12 disciples, the blind, the bereaved, the lame, the deaf, the mute, the leprous, both Jews and Gentiles, whenever they came in contact with Christ, something changed. He affected them in such a way that their life was never the same. Every person that has the slightest contact with Jesus has a major change in their life. I did. Dr. Williams did. What about you? Has a change come over you? The text finds Jesus at the end of celebrating one of the many feasts, and the Jewish people were enjoying his presence. Also, by this time, he was a wanted man. He was upset, or he had upset and frustrated somewhat powerful people in the land. Just like life, whenever God blesses you, somebody always going to be upset. Then when God moves on your behalf, somebody always got to try to upset the apple cart.
Right.
Simply because they're jealous or they don't understand what's going on. Somebody seeks to make things hard for you. And I've seen and heard people try to make it hard for Dr. Williams. And with me, again, if you know me in the fuse, if you push even him, I'm coming at you. Did y'all hear what I said? I just personally witnessed such a thing in the life, my own personal life, as I had to stand by and watch my wife face opposition and unwarranted attacks on her character and integrity. I watched her face that onslaught of unfair acts and attempts to get her fired. And I did all I could to keep from pouncing like a raging lion to rescue her. It came to a point to where I had enough. I was not going to stand for it anymore. But God. God set me down after much praying and said, look how she's holding on to me. See how she smiles and continues to do her job. Yes, she's hurt, and yes, she's offended, but her faith and hope was and is in me. So you just stand still and see. I did just that with tears in my eyes, and because my wife was in the fire, but then I saw that just like the king said with the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and that big Negro, as they were in the fiery furnace. Yes, she was in the fire, but he was with her, walking alongside her, holding her hand, leading her through it. This man, the same man, is in the text today.
Yes, sir.
In the text, this verse, these few words, we can see why here and this morning that why Dr. Williams can do what he can do. It is why I get up every day and go do about work that I do. It is why I stay the course and don't give up. It is why I stand when I want to quit. It is why I may weep, but I keep moving on because of this man. Now, as I said, Jesus was celebrating the conclusion of one of the holy feasts. The Lord had been teaching in the temple, and the people were captivated by his teaching. The last day of the feast would be the seventh day, a very special day on which the priest would march around seven times the altar, chanting Psalm 118:25. It would be the last time they would draw the water and pour it out. No doubt, just as they were pouring out the water, the symbolic water Moses drew from the rock, Jesus stood up and shouted his great invitation to the thirsty sinners, telling them, come to me and you'll never thirst again. Jesus was referring to the experience of Israel recorded in Exodus 17:1-7. The water was but a picture of the Spirit of God. Believers would not only drink the living water, but they would become channels of living water to bless a thirsty world. Water for drinking is one of the symbols of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. Just as water satisfies thirst and produces fruitfulness, so the Spirit of God satisfies the inner person and enables us to bear fruit. At the feast, the Jews were reenacting a tradition that could never satisfy the heart. Jesus offered them living water and eternal satisfaction. What was the result of this declaration, though? What happened when Jesus made this statement? It caused division. The people got divided. Some defended him. Some wanted to arrest him. Some said, is he a good man? Is he a deceiver? Is he Christ? Is he a prophet? Who is he? Who is this man? If only they had honestly examined the situation, if they just really would have looked, they would have seen who he is, the Son of the living God. But that's just like today. People are maybe even sitting in this building asking the question, who is Jesus? Probably sitting here right now not knowing who Jesus really is. You have heard many sermons, heard many comments, stories, testimonies, but still you have not made a decision on who Jesus is. Let me pause and tell you, you need to make that decision today. You're confused and doubting that the only man, this man who can meet your need. Before you leave this building, you need to decide who he is and make a decision for Christ. Because he is who you need, when you need him, and why you need him. It is at this time that Jesus was interjecting his powerful words of life and hope into the celebration that the Pharisees, the religious leaders, hypocrites in their own right, were furious. They got hot as fish grease at Jesus because once more and again, he was messing with their flow. And as they were telling him, he better recognize, they did not care who he was because they hated Christ with a passion. And that hatred blinded them to the truth about who Jesus was. Hate does that. A heart filled and governed by hate and jealousy is blind. It blinds everything and its owner. It keeps you from seeing the hope that you seek, receiving the joy that you want, living the life that you desire to live. Hate destroys from the inside and pours itself out to everyone around you. Hate is something that really burns you down. The Pharisees hated Christ, and they sought to bring his ministry to a close by any means necessary. The crowd's divided opinion about Jesus enabled him to continue his ministry without immediate arrest. Most of the people held a favorable opinion of Jesus, even though they did not personally commit themselves to him. His enemies had to be careful lest a riot would result. So for the time, no one touched him. But Jesus had now crossed the proverbial line. Enough was enough. He has to be dealt with. It is then that the Pharisees, hottest fish grease Pharisees, sent the temple guards to arrest the Lord. There were already arrest warrants out for Jesus. There was already an APB. He was on Jerusalem's most wanted list given by the Pharisees. It was now time to bring him and shut him down. So they sent the temple guards, the popo, to do their dirty work. Men of skill and prowess that knew what they were doing. They know how to arrest folks. It was their task and their duty to keep the peace and secure the temple. So they knew what they were doing, and they had that. They were determined to go do just what the Pharisees told them to do. They knew their job well. Jesus was to be arrested and brought to the Pharisees, charged, jailed, and subsequently executed. So they entered the temple, warrant in hand, ready, willing, and able to bring this man, Jesus, to justice. But saints, here's where it gets exciting. I can see him walking through the crowd, pushing people aside, swords in hand, but Jesus never shakes or shudders. He sees them coming, but he continues to teach and preach. And then all of a sudden, his words begin to reach their ears. As they get closer to him, they slow themselves down and they put their swords at their side. They stop approaching him and they do the one thing they shouldn't have done. They listened. They heard the master's voice. They heard what he was saying, and his words penetrated their cold hearts. Instead of them arresting him, he arrested them. And he arrested their attention. And they stood there and they listened. His words got through to them. And I tell you today, if you listen, God will get through to you. The Bible would teach us, the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. When God speaks, listen, because he speaks life into your life. The guards were shaken because something was different about this man. They couldn't finish their task because Jesus spoke to their hearts. I said earlier that I'm convinced and I confirm that no one that comes in contact with the living Christ can remain the same. I go to my grave with that conviction, knowing that if you just listen to the words of God, change will come over your life. Like the centurion who stood at the foot of the cross and said, this must be the Son of the living God. Just like the Apostle Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God. If you just listen, God will do great things in your life. Yes, sir. Problem with our world today, we're not listening. We listen to everything else but what Jesus says. I learned in my pastoral time is that, well, a friend of mine told me that whenever you deal with a conflict, always go back to what the Word says. When someone says wants to conflict them, let's ask them, what does the Bible say? What does God say? Because if they can argue with God, they're bigger than you anyway. What does the Bible say? The soldiers put their swords back in their sheath, left the temple, and went back to the Pharisees without their man. Now you have to understand that the Pharisees were not going to be happy. And they understood the Pharisees were not going to be happy, but they went back. They knew they could face the wrath of their chiefs, but they went back. They knew they could be reprimanded and possibly jailed themselves for not following orders, but they went back. These men's lives were changed. They had met Jesus and their hearts had heard the truth, not the truth, but the truth. And it changed their life. I imagine them walking back, talking and discussing, just like the men on the Emmaus Road after the resurrection. And when they got to, as they were sharing and talking about what they had just experienced, realized that they had come face to face with the living God, the creator of all things, the Lord of life, their potential savior, things were different. And as they walk into the temple and the Jews see them, that Jesus is not with them, the Pharisees, now even more upset, ask a unique question. Why have you not brought him? In other words, where is he? Did you go up there or not? Why are you here alone? And these men answered very simply. After knowing that the Pharisees would be upset, knowing they'd be 7 degrees hotter than they were before, knowing they would not understand what's going on, they simply said, never a man spake like this man. Did you hear what I said? Never a man spake like this man. The unique thing was, see, the word the word man is anthropos, and it's positioned at the end of the sentence. So it brings about that there's something uniquely different about this man. Right. We've heard people talk before. We've heard people preach before, but this man is not an ordinary man. Aren't you glad that he's not an ordinary man? I'm so glad that I know that man, because that man made a change in my life. We're living now in a world where people don't want to know who Jesus really is. They're calling evil good and good evil. They're accepting anything they want to accept. But I thank God for this man who lets us know what the truth really is. Here they were now trying to figure out how to deal with him, because he was what? Still, he was different. His words penetrated differently. His word touched differently. His word affected differently. God's word still works. God's word still works. Brothers and sisters, I believe everything in this book, from kiver to kiver, from in the beginning to amen, everything that it says, I believe. Now, maybe I'm not always doing everything I should do, but that don't mean the book is wrong. That means I need some help. But everything in this book is true. Everything in this book is real. And if we just follow God's word, we can do what this man has done by just holding on to what God says. He said, the temple guards recognized there was something about the way he talked to us. There was something about what he said. God's word still works. It still saves. It still calms a troubled mind. It still heals a broken heart. God's word is true. The man, this man that was not an ordinary man, he was different. something about his life, something about what he said affected a change in these men. Pharisees got upset. They even said, "You must be crazy.
Right.
No learned man believes what he says. Only the ignorant don't understand what he says." He says, "You don't know what you're talking about," but they knew because they'd been with Jesus.
Right.
"You don't know what I know." Anybody been with Jesus?
Yeah.
Anybody know that he's made a change in your life?
Yeah.
Do you believe that he's still making changes in lives today? It was this man that they once came to arrest that they were now leaning towards for hope. It was this man that they'd come to do some damage to that he had done some saving in their lives. It was this man that over the course of 3 years changed the course of human history. It was this man that spoke the world and all creation into existence. It was this man that opened the Red Sea for Israel to walk through on dry land. It was this man that stood in the fiery furnace with the three Hebrew boys. It was this man that came down through 42 generations. It was this man that was born of a virgin and baptized in the Jordan. It was this man that healed the sick, made the lame walk, opened blind eyes, and raised the dead. It was this man that arrested the garden and was whipped by the Romans. It was this man that was nailed to a rugged cross. It was this man who died on Friday but rose up on Sunday morning. It was this man who lives today and saves today. It was this man who touched the life of Pastor Williams. It was this man who helped him do what he can do. There's a story told about a big bad man who ran women around and had his own little cadre. He used to abuse women, abuse people. But one day he went missing. They didn't know where he was. So about a month later, one of his girls said, "I'm going to find out where he went." So she went down to the alley, and she said, "Do you know where so-and-so is?" And somebody said, "Yeah, I know where he is. Just go down this street, turn left, and go in the building with the cross on it." So she went down the street, turned left, and went to the building with the cross on it. She was a little nervous, but as she got to the door, she opened the door, and there he was, in a black suit, black tie, white shirt, hand behind his back, and he guided her to her seat and sat her down. As she sat down, she was a little nervous. What was going on? She kept looking back as he was standing behind him. He would just smile and nod at her. She heard the choir sing. She heard the deacons pray. She heard the preacher preach. And at the end of the service, the preacher said, "Who wants to give their life to Christ?" She got up and walked up in front of the church. The preacher said, "Sister, tell us today, why are you here? What made you make a decision? Was it the deacons praying?" She said, "No, Pastor, it wasn't the praying of the deacons, even though the prayers was good. Was it the choir singing?" She said, "No, Pastor, the choir did good, but it wasn't the singing. Oh, it must have been my preaching. It got through to you." She said, "Pastor, you preached a good message. A little long, but you preached a good message." She said, "But that didn't do it." He said, "Well, what happened?" And she looked back and saw him standing there. She said, "I know that man. I know what he's been like. I know how he's lived. I want to meet the man that changed that man. I want to know who he is. I want to know how to be like him. Can you get me saved? Can you make a change in my life? I'm so glad that I met this man. I'm so glad I'm saved, born again, set apart because of Jesus. And one glad morning, when this life is over, I'm gonna meet that man face to face for myself. And he don't have to say Daryl. He don't have to say Pastor. Just servant, 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 servant. Well done. Yes, I'm glad I know my pastor, and I know he is who he is because of this man. I know he does what he does because of this man. I know who I love him because of who he is because of this man." This man changes lives. This man is the reason I live. That's why the songwriter said, "Because he lives."
Yeah.
Because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all my fears are gone. And my life is worth living. My life is worth living. Just because he lives.
We ask the ushers to please hold the door as the Holy Spirit is moving. The gospel has been preached. And we have an invitation for two groups of people. The first is the primary audience, which is those that have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Would you come at this time, based on the moving on the Holy Spirit on your heart? Yes. You want to accept Christ through faith? He'll meet you where you are. But if that's you, we ask that you come down. You've never accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And you'll never meet anybody more important than this man, Jesus Christ. Would you come down now? Because he lives. Will there be one to say yes to the Master? Would there be one to say yes to Jesus the Christ? As the church is singing, our second group may be those that have lived a prodigal life. You've said yes to the Master, but you've been away and your connection hasn't been what it needs to be. We invite you to come down for prayer. So if that's you, you can come on down. Come on down for prayer. God bless you. God bless you. Would there be one? Would there be one? All fear is gone. More time, because he lives. We're waiting on you. God bless you. We see you. Would there be another to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Live. I can face tomorrow because he lives. All fear is gone.
While the Holy Spirit is moving, will there be another?
He holds the future, and this life is worth the living just because he lives.
Amen.
Pastor Heath for that powerful message.